I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Just joking. I'm joking. We can sit. I'm just kidding. We can. I got it under control up here. All right. Hey, we've had a great couple weeks in the Word, and I mean maybe a great like 30 years in the Word, and however long this church has been here, it's been a great time in the Word, right? 40 years, 50 years, what is that? I don't know. Should figure out the birthday of our church. It's late 60s, right? 68? What's the math on that? 53 years? Thank you, right? 53, okay. So it's been a great 53 years in the Word. Huh? I know. Depending on the month. I'm just believing you. My brain's still back at good evening. I'm still trying to figure. Gene said good morning to me. I'm way back there. That's like that was 30 minutes ago. So no, this morning we had a great class talking about the comfort and hope that we have in the Word, and that'll be again tomorrow night. And then Sunday night, Pastor Donald had a great message on the role of an assistant pastor. I saw the title pop up. I said, ooh, I'm going to listen to that. It was very good. I'm excited. God is moving in our hearts. You know what? Last Wednesday, we had our message about being available, right? And we could go through the room and talk about how people are available to God. But this is so evident in our church, and I think our hearts being that way, that God will use us. And if we're available, God will use us. Pastor Stevens said once in a message, I don't remember which one it was, but it stuck with me, that God uses available people, right? He uses available people. That's it. Does God use talented people? Yes, he does. Does God use all kinds of people, but the available people. Those are the ones who he uses. Behind the scenes, under the lights, wherever it is that God uses us, and that is seen in our church, and I love it. I love it. That the Word is not just preached, but it's lived. And I think that's amazing. So open with me to Mark chapter 4. Actually, let's go to Jeremiah 17 first. Sorry. Should we stand? No, let's sit. Let's sit. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17. I want to speak tonight about our having our heart prepared or having it ready to hear the Word. So Jeremiah 17, starting in we'll read verse 5. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Oh. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Does that sound like a fun place to be? No. Parched places, salty, uninhabited. Yeah, doesn't sound good. A shrub in the desert. Have you ever seen a shrub in the desert? Anybody? Tumbleweeds. Small, right? They're short, small, not beautiful. Just kind of scrappy and not beautiful, not fruitful. It could be that that little shrub has been growing in the desert for 30-something years, but it hasn't gone anywhere, hasn't done anything. I could be that way as a Christian, that I am living in a desert place where there is nothing to feed me, and I don't grow. I don't go beyond myself. And I could just be sitting there grumpy, dusty, salty, and say, ah, going to heaven someday, and until then I'm going to be miserable. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, I have felt that way. Guilty. Right? Sometime you go through the day and it's just like nothing is going right. Right? I just spoke to a guy yesterday. I said, how you doing? He goes, you know what? It was one of those days. I said, what do you mean? He said, nothing went right. Nothing went right. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I prayed. I said, oh, that's a good solution. I said, what did that do? And he said, it changed things. You know, things didn't go well. Still, the day kind of went poorly, but my attitude was different. My perspective was different, right? So I liked it here, and that was not in the, I was just out and about. But how about, could there be a different way? That I don't have to settle in a desert place. I don't have to settle for the salty, parched land. But instead, I can be like verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Okay, I could trust in man. My hope could be in politics. My hope could be in a corporation. My hope could be in the bank. My hope could be in someone falling through on their promise. That hope can be fragile, can it? It's as fragile as the person is. And it could be that I'm disappointed. Has anybody ever made a promise to you and they weren't able to follow through? Even they could have been very sincere in wanting to do something, but then by some circumstance, they couldn't do it. And they come to you, they say, I'm so sorry, but I can't give you what I promised you. And you can say, oh, I was kind of depending on that, or I was making plans based on that. Like, yeah, hey. God is not that way. God never gets to a point where he has out-promised himself. He's never at the point where he says, I thought the bonus was coming. I thought something with the stimulus was going to hit. I thought something was going to happen and I'd be able to, but that hasn't happened, so I can't. I'm sorry. No, God is never shorthanded. God is never unable to follow through on what he wants to give. The politician running for office makes big promises, right? Student council president at school, remember? You'd give it up and you'd make some amazing speeches. I'm going to make this lunch the best lunch you've ever seen in the history of schools, right? And then you become student council president and you'd be like, oh, I can't do anything about that? Oh, I really can't do anything. Oh, okay. And then everything that you campaigned on is gone, right? I ran for student council vice president one year. I wasn't elected. We actually think it was. There's a big story behind it. It was my cousin Justin. Justin ran for president. I ran for vice president. And we had no business doing it. We didn't even know anything. We think we won the popular vote. But the powers that be would not let us win that election. Probably wise. It was probably a good point, a good thing we didn't win that election. Anyway, we know how that story, right? The big promises, but then when, I can't follow through or I can't do it, that is a shame. That is discouraging. But how encouraging is it to know that God is never in that place? He's never in a place. That is my blessing. That is why I am blessed, because I've put my hope in someone who no one can ever take anything from. No one can ever withhold anything from him. He always can follow through with what he has promised. I'm blessed because I trust in him, right? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Okay. Roots spread deep. living by the river, living by the source, living by a place where there it is always flowing. Putting my trust in the Lord is putting my roots into something that's life source is bigger than me, right? God's thoughts, God's words are not held back by me. The source of my life cannot be dammed up. It can't be held back. But no matter what season, no matter what is happening, God is free to give. God is free to speak. God is free to lead me. Right? We need to know this. And we do. When we do, we don't fear when the heat comes. What's the heat? Well, it could be a drought. The drought comes. Right? The heat. Like today. 60? Did it get to 70?
No.
No? What was the high? 60-something. Yeah, 60-something. 60-something, right? What's going to happen Friday? Oh, let's not talk about it. No, I felt it. Like the evening came, you could feel the cold creeping back in, couldn't you? Right. It'll be 22 when we wake up tomorrow. Man, there it is. Right. Just to keep us all. God is good, right? But we don't fear when the 22-degree weather is coming. Right? Because we know, like the drought comes, or the difficulty comes, the pressure comes, persecution comes. But we know that none of that stuff can affect the one that we are trusting in, right? It can affect me. I'll feel it. I'll be affected by it. But my hope is in God. My hope's not in myself. My hope's not in anybody. My hope is in God. He's not affected by 12 inches of snow. Hallelujah. All right? He is not improved by 60-degree weather in February. He is. He is. And we are in a life of like transitions and big swings, aren't we? The waves are up and down, but our anchor is in eternity. Our anchor is in heaven. And there, the source of life cannot be held back. Right? So I am planted by that. Have you looked at England, right? The Great Britain, the Isles, the Emerald Isles, Scotland, Britain, Wales, Ireland. Right? Beautiful, green country. But what happens a lot in those countries? Right? Say hello to my little friend. They'll get there, the little leprechaun back there. Right? On his shirt, not him. No. Yeah, the rain, so much rain, so much. It's beautiful. Ireland, when the sun comes out, it's incredible. It's incredible. It's so green, it's overwhelming. But if you go up to the cliffs, you see these trees that are planted there. And the trees are bent because the wind is constant. Just constantly coming off the land and just pounding on these trees nonstop. So they don't grow up. They grow that way, right? But they're still growing, and they're still there. Why? Because the roots go deep, and they can handle the wind that is blowing. Right? That's what we want to be like. We look at each other and we're like, "Man, why are you crooked? Why are you only?" Because I'm feeling a lot of pressure right now. I feel like I'm like, "Whoa!" Right? If you have hair left, it's like blowing sideways, right? Why are you like that? Because there's pressure. Because isn't there? There is. We feel it. But what am I rooted in? I'm rooted in Christ, and He cannot be moved. And yeah, I'm like outwardly I am being moved, but inwardly I am not moved because God is not moved. Amen. So let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, there's a parable about a sower who's gone out sowing seed. Verse 1, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, and he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said unto them in his teaching, "Listen,
Blessed!
Isn't that good? Exclamation point. Ooh, Jesus was bold. Behold, a sower went out to sow. I love that sentence. Honestly, I just stared at that sentence this afternoon for like an hour. A sower went out to sow. Man, where would we be if the sowers weren't out sowing? Where would we be if the people who have been called to preach the Word of God didn't go out and preach the Word of God? Where would we be if the evangelists weren't on evangelism? Where would we be if the singers didn't go and sing? Where would we be if the servants didn't go to serve? Maybe we wouldn't be here, would we? Like we just said, 53 years this church has been preaching the Word of God. If the sower hadn't gone out to sow, this church would not be. But because they did, hallelujah, here we are. Faithful, 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 faithful people doing what God's called them to do. The sower has seed, isn't he? That's the job of the sower, is to sow seed, like Johnny Appleseed. He's from up around these parts, isn't he? Johnny Appleseed from Leominster or something. Yeah, Johnny went out with his apples, planted seeds. Anyway, okay. Through the parable, we see a few different responses to the seed. Right? And we'll talk about those. But at no point is the sower at fault, and at no point is the seed bad. The sower is obedient in the fact that he goes, and the seed is good. So know that if you are a sower, if you are preaching, if you are sharing the word, if you are giving the gospel, if you are serving, you are good. Like you're doing it in obedience, you're doing it in faith, and you have a seed. The seed is good. Don't doubt your call, and don't doubt the message. Those two things are sure. Those two things are good. The man in Jeremiah 17 that is planted by the rivers of living water knows that he has a call, and it's a good call. It's a heavenly call. It's a divine call. And he knows that he has a seed that is good. It's a divine thing. It's God's message. The gospel is his message, not our message, right? So when we go out, we have freedom. We have freedom from a negative response. We have freedom from the indifferent response. We have freedom from the seemingly good response. And we can say, however people respond, that's God's work. But we are free to throw this seed out there, however he has called us to do it. So a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Okay? So some seed falls by the wayside, and the birds came and ate it up. Have you ever done that? You planted grass seed out back, and then you see the birds come in, and you're like, hey, what are you doing? It's not for you. Right? God gave you all kinds of stuff. I bought that seed. It has fertilizer in it. It's probably not good for you. Leave it alone. Go back to the woods with the other stuff. Leave my seed alone, right? The birds come in, they scoop it up. Verse 5, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. The soil is thin on the top, and then there's a hardness below it, and it quickly shoots up, and you say, hey, look at that. Ooh. But, verse 6, when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Right. And then Jesus goes on to explain the parable to his disciples. Because they all are with the multitude of people, and the disciples are like, amen, yep, amen, amen. And then they get Jesus aside and they say, we have no idea what you're talking about. Can you please explain? Right. It's like we are that way sometimes, aren't we? we're in the church and we say, yeah. And then you could say, talk to each other. What are the men? You look at each other, you're like, I have no idea what he's talking about. No idea. Or you could say, I had a great devotional this morning. I read the Bible. It was fantastic. And someone would say, well, can you tell me? And you're like, oh, nope. No idea, actually. I know it was good. It was about God. Like, oh, great. We are this way. It's okay. Jesus, the disciples, so they come to him. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And maybe it was this way where Peter was like, hey, Jesus, I'm asking for the other guys. I know exactly what you're saying. But some of the other guys have said they don't understand. Could you help them? If you need me to fill in, just let me know. But they, you know. And he explains it, right? He explains it. And he says in verse 15, he says, the sower sows the word, in verse 14, I love it, obedience. And these are the ones that fall by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Oh, so the birds are like, the application is that Satan comes and he takes the seed away. Wow. Do you understand that when you hear the word of God preached, Satan is against it? And when you sit and listen, if my heart is not prepared, it could be that Satan takes away something that was intended for my liberty. Right? Like there is a word that is there to deliver you. Right? Amongst all the weird applications and the food comments and the funny things that happen, right? If you can filter through all that stuff, God has something for you to deliver you. The devil doesn't want you to have it. So they come in and they take it away. Right? And then second, verse 16 and 17, the stony ground, they immediately receive it with gladness. They say, oh, this is amazing. This is fantastic. But they have no root in themselves. They have no depth in their heart. And so they endure it only for a time. And when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Okay. So once the pressure comes, they say, whoa. No. Hey, that's not up for that. I'm going to go along with popular opinion. This could be, I hear a message, I have a conversation, and then I begin to stir in my heart and I say, Lord, maybe this, but then I turn to popular opinion and they say that old Bible is not worth it. And I say, yeah. And I give it away. I don't allow it to take root because I don't have depth. And we'll get to this. Where do we get depth? We'll get to this. Okay, the third group is the thorns, verse 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the cares of the world. What are the cares of the world? Work, finances, politics, CNN, Fox News, right? Newsmax, right? Whatever rabbit hole we want to go down. What else are the cares of this world? Health, right? Health is a big one. Relationship stuff. Isn't that kind of, it can get complicated, can it? Well, it can be the cares of the world. Insecurities, acceptance, do they like me, do they care about me, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff, the cares of the world, okay, that's one thing. The deceitfulness of riches. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money can be good. Wealth given by God is fantastic. But there is a deceitfulness in riches that riches will satisfy my soul. Just ask Ebenezer Scrooge, right, and see. It didn't work out. All right, he needed something more. That's like a modern parable, isn't it? Like it wasn't there. It didn't add any depth to him. It didn't add life to him. And we've seen this story played out over the decades, over the centuries, over the millennia. This is the story. Ask Solomon, ask David. David, in some of the Psalms, it seems like he is saying, just bring me back to the simplicity of life of being Jesse's son in the pasture. I said, like, give me, you can take the gold, you can take it all. I just want to be in peace, peaceful, like wrestling a bear in the pasture rather than wrestling with all of this stuff that comes with the deceitfulness of riches. Right? It has broken many a person, the deceitfulness of riches. Beware of the deceitfulness of riches. That's a warning here. It can take away something that God has given to you. Right? And then there's a third thing. And the desire for other things. The desires for other things. The desires for other things can become idolatry, can take God's place in my heart. And they can distract me from what he wants to give me. They enter in and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. They enter in and they choke the word. But didn't we say that the seed is good? Yeah, the seed is good. And are we talking about the word of God? Yeah, the word of God. Isn't it like the thing that is able to deliver my soul? Isn't it the one able thing in this world? Yes, it is. How can the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world and other things choke out the mighty word of God? How can it? Because of the receptivity of the ground. The seed is not bad. The sower is not bad. The problem in these illustrations is the ground. And then finally, you come to verse 20, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word of God, okay, everyone in this parable has heard the word of God, but here it is, they accept it. It seems like other people in this parable accepted the word, didn't they? But when it was pushed against and when it was compared to like attainable things, it was put down. Right? The deceitfulness of riches comes in. I put down the word and I pick up the riches. That's the ground is getting hard. But look, so when the good ground receives the good seed, it accepts it, it bears fruit some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. I looked up the ratios, and I read in one of the study Bibles that a good ratio was 1 to 8 in a crop. Average was 1 to 8. Good, excellent, was 1 to 10. So 30, 60, 100 is like radical. Jesus is not, Jesus never meets the average, does he? Like when he does something in my life, it's never just like, huh, okay, thank you. That'll do. Right? No, he exceeds exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. It is unreasonable to ask 100-fold, to give one and to receive 100 back. Even 30, that's crazy. But where good seed meets good ground, it exceeds us. And it goes beyond our ability, it goes beyond our reasoning, it goes beyond our faith even. And that's the beauty of faith. I go from faith to faith. Because when I invest faith, I have greater faith. And then I invest that faith and I get a greater faith. 30, 60, 100. And I look back years later and I say, I didn't even have faith for anything small, but now I have faith, like, God, I'm praying for big things. Why is that? Because good seed is met good ground, and faith is produced, and fruit is produced, and it goes, because it is rooted next to this living river, and that's God. So, the question tonight is, how do I produce good ground? Or how do I make sure that there is good ground for the good seed to land in? Like we are here in church and we are driving to church. What is my expectation as I am going to church? What is my expectation when I'm leaving church? What is my expectation when I go to my prayer and devotion in the morning or in the afternoon or whenever I do it? What is my expectation? Am I ready to hear God? And when the Word of God challenges my flesh, what am I going to do? That's like some of this pressure, isn't it? Like the stony ground that gets the seed and it's all excited about the Word of God, and then the Word of God says, your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What do I do with that? That's like, that is the stuff that we accept when we hear the Word and accept it. Like accepting that God loves you, but also accepting that your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Don't follow it, don't obey it, don't listen to it. Like in Mark chapter 12, where the woman is saying, the dogs eat the crumbs that come off the master's table. Like she's like, fine, you want to call me a dog, call me a dog. I accept it. But I also am ready to accept a miracle from you. Like that is offensive to the flesh. There is no good way to call a woman a dog. Right? No good way. Like you read commentaries on that passage and it's like, well, what he was trying to say, I'm like, no, you can't make that. The best case scenario is still bad. But she says, you know what? Call me whatever you want. You're the only one that can do anything about it, and I trust you. That's what it's like to hear the Word and accept it. Right? There is none righteous, no, not one. The natural man hears that and says, hey. I listened to the message from, I don't know, sometime this weekend, Pastor Hadley spoke in Baltimore. And he said he was a good Catholic. And he went, somebody invited him to a Billy Graham movie, and he saw the movie, and then somebody said, if you love God, come forward. And he said, I'm a good Catholic, so of course I'm going to go forward. And they said, you got to repeat this prayer and get saved. He said, I repeated the prayer so these crazy people would leave me alone. And then he got in his car and he's driving home and he was angry. He was angry at the gospel. Why? Because there is no righteous, no one is righteous, no, not one. And the good person says, hey, don't call me that. I'm good. And God says, no, you're not. And we say, but look at me. Look at this is the best I have. And he says, yeah, that's filthy rags. And we say, hey. And he said for 2 years he wrestled with the gospel, angry at God. And then he finally met Christ. And then he said, driving away from that meeting, he said his car felt like a rocket ship because God had come and saved him. All right, so this is what it means to accept the Word of God. But when I accept the challenging things in the Word of God, what does it do? Jeremiah 4:3, break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground, O men of Judah. Read that passage. It's good. Break up the fallow ground. What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is ground that has been hardened. It's ground that is intended for harvest. But because it has been neglected, because weeds have grown in, because I have not paid attention to it, it has become hard, and the seed can't penetrate it. So God says to the men of Judah, break up the fallow ground. Meaning there is ground that I have created, that I have given to you, and that ground is meant to produce fruit, but it can't because it's hard. Break it up. Get the plow in there and break it up. It's painful. What does it do when we break it, when you have the rototiller, right? You get in the garden, blah, 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 rototill. Well, there's stuff, fertilizer that's down deep under the surface, and it needs to, when it comes up and it mixes with oxygen, it releases the nutrients that are needed for the plants and for the grass and all that kind of stuff. Or aeration, right? When people aerate their yards in the fall and in the spring, golf courses, you aerate. Well, you got to get that stuff out and bring life into it. God is saying that to us. There is ground in your heart. It's good ground. But if you don't pay attention to it and you are distracted by other things and you don't listen to the Word and accept it, then it gets hard. And you're distracted by many other things in this ground, this like ripe, great, fruitful land in your heart can be hardened. And there is an intention for it. But it can't. It's been hardened. It's been neglected. Weeds have grown. How do we do it? 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. Like, I think that's the same idea as break up the fallow ground. Stir up the gift. Remember, you're called. Remember, you are a sower. Why are you a sower? Because God's given you a message. And you're sitting on the couch instead of ministering the gospel somewhere. Right? And there's time for the couch, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, there could also be time to stretch myself beyond myself and break it up. And I had some ideas of how do I break up the fallow ground? How do I make sure that my heart is like softened and ready to hear the word that is spread there? One thing is to recite truth. There is a certain sound in the finished work. Like, have the finished work reciting through your mind, going through your mind. The truth of the cross, the effect, the effectiveness of the blood of Christ, right? The finality of the cross in regards to my sin. The emptiness of the tomb, where Christ is seated. These are all truths that I can recite. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and there he's interceding for me. He's been accepted. He's been given his seat. His work is done. Recite that truth, and it starts to break things up in your heart. Number two, feed on the truth. Like the guy in Jeremiah 17, I can feed on dust or I can feed on the living waters that come from the throne of God. Be cautious and be careful with what you feed your soul. It will have an effect on your heart. And it will have an effect on how you hear the word of God. Right? It will have an effect on how you fellowship. It will. Right? So feed on good things. Pastor Bill Alexson, he was talking to us when Justin and I, we were single guys, young guys, and he was talking to us about like the beauty of marriage and like keeping yourself for marriage. And he said, listen, the Snicker bar is great. There's a lot of Snickers bars out there. He's like, but the steak dinner is waiting for you. He's like, don't miss out on the steak dinner because you got a Snickers bar, right? Like, it's a great, I love it. Like, only Pastor Bill Alexson can present. You know, he's a unique guy. He is never not evangelizing. I was with him down in Florida in November, and we're at a Starbucks. We had just come from outreach, and we were at a Starbucks having coffee. And, you know, there's a group of people sitting out on the bench out front. Yeah, right after we were door knocking. And we're looking at those people, and I say, man, it's a shame. It's a shame they weren't where we were doing outreach. Otherwise, we could give them the gospel. No, I'm kidding. Right? But we go to the car, turn around, Pastor Bill's there talking to him, of course. And then while we're in Starbucks, he's evangelizing the barista. And it was busy. Have you been to Starbucks when it's busy? Yeah, most of the time, right? It's busy. And the people behind the counter, they don't care about what you're saying, actually. Unless it's like got something to do with a macchiato or foam or temperature or ice or something, right? But he's there talking to the barista, and you know what? She's listening. Like, he has this way of presenting the gospel that just draws you in, right? Yeah. So he's talking to these three people on the bench out front. I get in the car, I go back, and he comes back. He said, they all got saved. I was like, oh my gosh, this guy. He never takes a break. Right? So that's him, right? Feeding on the truth. Feed yourself truth. Don't accept the lie that there is something better for your soul than the Word of God. That's the Satan and his little birds coming in and trying to steal something from you. Take the truth. Be corrected. Another way to break up the fallow ground is to be corrected. Pastor Donald said it in his message. He said, Pastor Bailey gives me a lot of freedom, but I hope he would correct me if I'm wrong. I said, man, I tell you, that's humility. Sal said that to me before, too. And I tried. He just said, he turned me off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, you know what? Actually, Sal, he's told me when I was wrong. Right? No, it was, and I needed it. Huh? Isn't that it? Don't remember that. Yeah? I'll bring you up to speed. No, and I needed it. Iron sharpens iron. And it helped me. And it helped me as a pastor. It helped me as a leader. And I was very thankful that he told me that. I needed it. Right? This is what it means. Be corrected. We submit to each other in the body of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you need to correct everybody. Let's make that clear, right? Everyone loves to quote that, hey, I'm just speaking the truth in love. It's like, well, let's like love a little more than we hit people with a 2x4, right? We don't need to correct each other. But the Word of God corrects us. That's where it primarily comes. And then you that are spiritual, correct those who are weak. That's what Paul says. Okay? Be spiritual in correcting. Don't be carnal in correcting people. Just because you don't like what they're wearing, just because you don't like what they smell like, just because you don't like the translation of the Bible they're carrying, doesn't mean you have to correct them. Hallelujah, we're growing. Right? We're growing. You could say, ooh, I saw someone doing this. Well, that's better than what they were doing last week. Hallelujah. Right? Like you, yeah. And if you are always pointing, maybe God is saying, hey, your heart is very hard because you're not being corrected. Right? Okay, this is just being correct, but my correction comes. The Holy Spirit is able to correct me. Right? The Word of God is able to correct me. And when it does, accept it. Because it's going to lead you into a greater liberty. It'll break up the fallow ground and it will allow the seed to go deeper and the root to grow deeper so that you are not feeling the heat when it comes and you are able to be fruitful in a time where there's not much fruit. Right? Or we're drawing from something deeper and that depth comes from this being broken up. The cross will break up fallow ground. Why? Because the cross takes away you give up all of your stuff. All of my thoughts, all of my desires, all my ambitions. I am crucified with Christ. He gives me his desires, his thoughts, his ambitions. The cross doesn't mean you're not ambitious. The cross doesn't mean you don't have purpose and you're not motivated, highly effective. It means that I'm motivated by him. I'm moved by him. I'm ambitious for his things. My desires are his desires. That's where the cross breaks up my fallow ground. The body of Christ, we touched on it a little bit. Body life. Body life is a great way to break up the fallow ground. I hear something. I hear a testimony. I hear a prayer request. I am humbled by someone's care. I read something from D.L. Moody. And my gosh, reading D.L. Moody makes me so thankful for the time we live in. He was superintendent of I'm closing in a minute. He was the superintendent of a Sunday school in Chicago, 1,500 kids. So many children died just because that's the way life was. And there was a woman who came to him and she said, I'm a stranger here. My family's not here. It breaks my heart to bury my child among strangers. So the Sunday school raised money to buy a plot of land to bury children among themselves. And just the idea that so many children were dying, that they would fill up a graveyard. But that's the way life was. It was heartbreaking. And he said in 1 year, he was so numb to it because he was 8 or 9 times a week going to a child's funeral. Can you imagine? And being ministering to, he said at one point he was so numb to it, he went to a woman's house and he brought his daughter with him, his youngest daughter. And he said, okay, yep, I got everything, I'll take care of you. He took the notes and he left. And his daughter said, Dad, how come you don't feel anything? And he was affected by his daughter saying, do you feel that girl was my age? And you know, this little girl died. Because her job was to collect firewood as it floated down the river. Whatever she could collect for firewood, right? And she saw a piece and she went too far and she drowned. The mother's heartbroken. The father's drunk in the corner. And there they are. Right? Oh, my gosh. So his daughter said, imagine if it was me. And it changed his outlook and he was moved by it. And then they bought the plot of land, they buried the girl, and then they bought another cemetery for just for the children of the Sunday school. Our compassion, our empathy is broken up when we are with the body of Christ. Hearing what people go through, hearing what people are dealing with, praying for people, agreeing with in prayer, and like people are agonizing in prayer over health, over family, over children, whatever it is. When we meet people together in those prayers, we are moved. Our hearts are softened, our outlook is changed, and our fallow ground is broken up, and God works mightily in our hearts. Because tragedy is always right around the corner. And I say that with the greatest, like, trembling. Lord, please keep us from tragedy. But it's always close. And as we go through it together in the body of Christ, we encourage each other. We cry together. We pray together. We laugh together. We rejoice together. We celebrate together. All of it. Because God has placed us together. The body of Christ breaks up the fallow ground. And then finally, I had evangelism as something that breaks up the fallow ground. I can't tell you how many times I've been delivered on evangelism myself, right? Going out, getting outside of myself, outside of my problems, outside of my worries, and thinking about other people breaks up my fallow ground and allows God's good seed to penetrate deeper in my own heart. And I need it. I need it. So I encourage you. I mean, you're here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys, good ground here. Good ground. But continue. Be aware of the ground in your heart. Allow it to be broken up. Be conscious. Be aware. Right? Where is it? And allow God to come in with the rototiller and just tear it apart. And then he can plant his seed deep. The good seed finds good ground, and there's great fruit. Amen? Amen. Lord, thank you for giving us this message, this word, this body of Christ, this place to come and to be worked on by you, Lord. And help us to break up the fallow ground in our hearts and be ready to hear what you have to say. God. In Jesus' name, amen.